All right, church, thank you for checking in. We're moving through the book of Joshua. We're into chapter 5 today, the starting part of chapter 5 at least. And just as a preemption with this, the book of Joshua is known for all of the action, all of the conquering, all of the capturing, and everything else that occurs there. But look at this, we're into chapter 5. Chapter 1 was the Be Strong and Courageous chapter. And you're going to get every place you set your foot and everything else. They've crossed the Jordan River. It was a miracle. But they have not actually gone to any war yet. There's not a single battle yet. We're into chapter 5. There's not going to be a battle in chapter 5 either. And all of this is just setup stuff. The battles and the conquering that Joshua is known for, the man Joshua as well as the book of Joshua, are not the first things that happen here. There is a lot of prerequisite things that need to happen in terms of preparation, spiritual preparation, and everything else that has to take place before the land is actually conquered. And that's important. We talk in our church often. I have told you that our church is going to be moving forward, advancing, conquering, moving ahead. I'm right here at the desk. The bulletins on them all say advance with a big red arrow pointing the way. And that's been our sermon series for quite a while already, and it's going to continue to be, looking in Joshua and everything else. But advance when you are in the right position to advance. Get things right before you just go out and jump into the fray, okay? So that's where we're going to see in chapter 5. Okay, now it came about, verse 1, when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. So that's verse 1 of chapter 5. That is exactly what God said would happen. That's why they built the monument. You know how verse chapter 4 ended, the last verse of chapter 4, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, when it came about that all the kings of the Amorites who were out beyond the Jordan in the west, and the kings of the Canaanites saw what God had done, dried up the waters of the Jordan, their hearts melted. There was no spirit in them any longer. So it worked. Okay, that's the main point of just verse 1 of chapter 5. These people, before the fight even happens, before any of it even occurs, they are terrified, all the kings and the peoples of this land. And not a single spear has been raised yet. The stories of them that Rahab told, that Rahab knew, from when they had escaped from Egypt, and escaped might be the wrong word, because escaped makes it sound like it was a close call. And when they had gotten out of Egypt in a dominant manner, taking spoil with them. Rahab heard of it. She's 40 years later, still talking about it. All right, and now, this big nation has just walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. What in the world? They're terrified, okay? Now, you would think Joshua, Mr. Strong and Courageous, he's now in the land. He's crossed that river, and everybody on their side of the river now is afraid of them. Let's just go get them, boys. Go chase them down. Take it. Take the land. No. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath-Haraloth. And it goes into it, explains why. Verse 4, why did they need to? Well, because they hadn't been yet. This was the generation that had been born in the wilderness, and the majority of them were not circumcised yet, okay? So they make a big, that's what happens. It repeats it. Verse 4, 5, 6, 7 are all about why this nation had not been circumcised yet and why it was necessary. And then verse 8, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. All right. And then verse 10, we'll get into tomorrow. They're going to do Passover and stuff, celebrate Passover in their land. Still, not a spear has been raised, no battle. All right? Why not circumcise before they cross the river? They're camped out in front of the river, on the east side of the river. Circumcise there, cross the river, and hit the ground running, make an attack. Why not do that? It doesn't go into a ton of detail with it about why they did it in the order that they did it, except to say this nation, this group of people had not been circumcised yet. Remember, Moses had trouble with circumcision for some reason. Remember his son on the way back into Egypt. He had been hiding in Midian, and he had not circumcised his son, and so his wife circumcised his son on the way. Do you remember this? Well, now this nation of Israel has been walking the wilderness for 40 years, and apparently Moses had never insisted upon this, and so Joshua has to get it right. They're in the land now, though, and so their circumcision is taking place in the land. Now, I am speculating. I don't know, but Joshua needed to prove his leadership. They were ready to follow him, but if Joshua's first act of leadership had been circumcision, I don't know. They would have said, hey, Moses didn't make us do that. Who are you, buddy? But Joshua leads them across the Jordan River on dry ground. They get to the other side. It said Joshua was now exalted in their sight. Now they're going to listen to him, and he says, get circumcised, guys, before we do the next thing. All right, now, when I talk about circumcision, it's a major principle in the Bible. It is a major thing in the Bible. But yet it's kind of this weird thing, and it might not be the sort of thing you talk about in polite company. But listen, it's important, and I'm going to show you in Romans chapter 2 what it means for you today. Okay, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he's a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. So, circumcision of the heart is what you need to be concerned with for yourself and for your family and for the, generally speaking, for the church. Circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, according to Romans 2, 28 and 29. So Joshua is now in the land. The people of Israel are now in the land. And God says, before we do anything, we need circumcision. Circumcision is a sign. It's a type. It's a reminder, a pre-Christ. It's a BC indicator pointing towards the need for something, which in Romans says it's going to be circumcision of the heart, meaning a clip off from your heart anything that isn't for Christ, and dump it, all right, and then move forward in Christ. So, circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Now, I've shared it once or twice in some of these messages that the book of Joshua is parallel to the book of Acts, okay? And so Moses, who's before the book of Joshua, he is a type of Christ, a type meaning a forerunner, a precursor kind of thing. Moses is the prince of Egypt, just as Jesus is the Son of God, the prince of heaven, you could say. Moses gives up his identity, and makes himself known as a shepherd, a wilderness shepherd, and a Jew, a slave. Jesus humbled himself and went down to earth among the people. Okay, Moses then led them out of their slavery. Jesus leads us out of our slavery to sin. Moses gave them the law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus gave them the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the law of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand and all this stuff. And so Moses is, and there's tons of miracles associated with Moses, just as Jesus. And then Moses dies. Moses is not Jesus. He's a type. He's a forerunner. He's a pointer towards Jesus. Well, if you look at it from that framework, then the book of Joshua parallels the book of Acts. And Joshua is a parallel to what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Moses is like a forerunner pointing to Jesus. Joshua is a forerunner pointing to the Holy Spirit, just as Acts is a parallel to Joshua, the book of Joshua. All right, so what does this mean for you? Well, circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit. All right, you're going to need to be filled with the Spirit before you go out and take the land, before you go out and have an effective ministry, changing the world, spreading the gospel of God's kingdom. All right, and that's the exact same thing as you see in the book of Acts. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses, but not until you will receive power from on high, and then you will be my witnesses. You'll be circumcised of the heart by the Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses. And Jesus had said to them frequently, you know, don't go anywhere. Wait here until the Holy Spirit comes on you with power, and then go. So Joshua says, hey, you guys are all eager to go conquer Jericho and all these cities. First, we need to have you marked for the kingdom of God. You are not just doing this in your flesh. No, your flesh has been clipped. Your flesh has been cut off and dumped off. And now anything that happens here has the mark of God upon it. You're my people. You're God's people. And you're marked and you're unique and you're distinct and you're different. You've given up your life. You've given up your identity. And everywhere you go, you're going to be spreading the kingdom of God from now on. That's why this is so important. Before you capture any land, you're just in a camp. You're in there. You're over the river. You've been baptized. That's what crossing that river meant. You've given up your life, dead, buried, and raised to new life, walking out the other side of that river into new life, into the new kingdom in there. But before you have any effectiveness in there, and before you go get anything done, and before you have any meaningful witness or any meaningful conquering of land or giving of territory or anything like that, you need to be marked by God. Okay, so this what it means for you is it means you need the Holy Spirit. All right, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the holiness of the Holy Spirit. You need the courage and boldness of the Holy Spirit. You need the fruit of the Spirit. You need God's Spirit in you, God's Spirit upon you. You're going with Him. All right, that's who you need. Circumcision of the heart, a change of heart, a change of all of this, everything given over to Him. All right. And you can do that. It's simple. You don't have to get out a flint knife, okay? It's kind of a gruesome little passage if you were to spend much time thinking about it. You don't need that. What you need is you need to give your life to Jesus, and you need to say, Holy Spirit, I've given my life to Jesus. He has forgiven my sins. And now, Holy Spirit, fill me, overflow me, empower me, make me holy, and lead me into the next thing. And then you walk in the Spirit. You do not walk with God alone. You walk with God with God. Common sense, right? So wherever you go, just like God said to Joshua, wherever you set your foot, I'm there with you. Jesus said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So you're with Him. You forget that you're with Him. You're tempted and drawn into 100 other things. You'll see a guy named Achan here gets it wrong in another chapter. We'll get to him. But look, God's with you. God's in the room. God's with you. God hears every word out of your mouth. He knows every thought you're thinking. If you have given your life to Christ, if you have trusted Jesus to take your sins and forgive your sins and die for your sins and give you new life, and you are experiencing the Holy Spirit in your life, sanctifying you. Sanctifying you means making you holier continuously. Where it means that you are no longer happy with sin. It means that sin is starting to, more and more starting to disgust you. And when you find yourself in sin, you're finding yourself less and less satisfied with it and more eager to dump it and get rid of it. And ashamed of it, but not condemned by it. Ashamed of it, oh God, man, why am I even tempted that way? You're repulsed by it. And you're learning to be. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. That's holiness. You don't get holiness of your own flesh. You get holiness from the Holy Spirit. So these are evidences of the Holy Spirit. So if you're walking in the Spirit, He is going to make you less satisfied with sin, more hungry for Him, more satisfied by Him, and you're going to be more empowered by Him. And wherever you go, He's with you. So remember that. You're not in this alone. Satan wants you to think you're alone. Satan wanted Eve to think she was alone. She didn't seem to bat an eye. She didn't seem to pay any attention to Adam until after she'd eaten it. And then she gave some to him. He was operating as though she was alone too. He was like, you know, let's see what Eve does. Adam should have gone to God, should have brought Eve to God. I should have brought the serpent to God and said, hey, God, what is this thing doing in my garden that you gave me? I don't get him out of here. All right. Go with God. Walk with God. He is with you. That means you can pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit at all times is what it would say in Ephesians 6. Praying in the Spirit, trusting in him. That doesn't mean you have to pray in tongues or something. It doesn't, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, my goodness, people get all kinds of ideas. It means you're with him. It means he's in the room. It means you're constantly aware of his presence. All right, if I was sitting in a room with you right now, you would know I was there, right? If somebody's in the room with you, you're aware of them. And you will act, and everything you do will be with consciousness that there's another person in the room. You might talk to them. You might just go about your business, but you know they're there, and you're not ignoring them. You're conscious of their presence. And if that person is God, then you're conscious of his presence. And I don't mean it in a creepy way either, where God's just staring at you, waiting for you to, what, are they going to mess up? You're going to mess up. I caught you. Oh, you're going. No, not like that. Although, yes, he will convict you with regard to sin. Jesus said so. He promised it. So you will be less satisfied with sin. But he's also in the room. God's in the room with me. Wow. I'm empowered. That's what you're supposed to take from it. If God's in the room with you, you're empowered by God in the room with you. You're with him. So stop living a defeated life. All right? You're marked. These guys, when they marched around Jericho, they knew something was different about them. They could feel it. I mean, literally. It says they waited till they were healed. But, these were grown men. Verse 8, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they had healed. And then the Lord said to Joshua, today I rolled away the approach of Egypt from you. And then chapter 6, which we'll get to soon, they're going to go around Jericho. These guys knew we're not the same people that we were. We were born and raised in that wilderness, aimlessness. But we crossed a river and saw God at work. And now we have a physical sign on our bodies that shows God, we belong to God. Kind of like a branding mark. Think of circumcision as a brand. Same basic idea. Well, you're branded. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're branded. You're marked. You're a new person. So stop living like an old like the old person, and start living in the power of the Spirit. I believe that's what this circumcision means for you and I today. If you want to talk to me about circumcising your baby or something, about whether you should or not, I don't mean talk to me about me doing it. I mean talk about the concept of it. There are a bunch of biblical principles to look at here. I'd be happy to talk to you. But that would be a distraction from the core part of what this means. This means that you are to go in the power of the Spirit. You are to walk with God, with God. He's with you. All right. Praise the Lord. We'll hit into some more of chapter 5 tomorrow. God bless you. I'll see you then.